Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, this week brought to you by TrustedVegas.com. Yeah, have you been to Vegas? Do you know someone going to Vegas? Do you fancy going to Vegas? Do you hate the idea of Vegas? Well, let Trusted Vegas change your mind or help your mind. Just visit TrustedVegas.com. Welcome. It's another rainy, sunny evening in Manchester, England. The summer has been a washout. I mean, saying that, we had like two glorious days this week. It's going from 35 degrees to horrible, grey, wet weather, isn't it?
It's guff, Howell. It's been absolute guff.
Speaking of guff, how's baby preparation going, Jamie?
Well, Howell, I'm speaking to you live from a bed covered in prams, Moses basket, and just general paraphernalia for a child-rearing session.
So,
yeah, it's heavy going.
How much money do you think it costs to bring a baby into this world?
Jesus, I tell you. We're borrowing from everybody, you know. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
And it's still not enough. Like, we're still spending, you know, fortune on, like, sterilizing stuff for, you know, babies, milking sessions. And Lauren, I bought Lauren a breast pump.
Oh, lucky girl.
Hey.
Happy Christmas.
Anyway, we wanted to check it was working because I had to put it together. And you know, Lauren couldn't test it because if she tests it, then the, you know, she'll start milk will stop.
I know where this is going.
So I had to try the breast pump out on my own to check the suction was working. And
How can you check?
You press it against your nipple,
and what comes out?
No, nothing
comes
out.
But
no. You can feel the suction. All you want to do is check the suction's working when you. Anyway, so yeah, but I really shouldn't. I wasn't going to tell anyone that. But there we go. That's just happened. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's times like this I wish we were back on the radio. And how do you think people managed, you know, between the dawn of man until about 30 years ago? Surely, doesn't part of you think, we don't need any of this shit?
Yeah, there is a little bit of you that thinks
just bring it up in the woods, it'll be fine.
Yeah, there's an element of overcaution, but I think because we're
sat there with a breast pump on.
Yeah.
Do you think you've passed the line of overcaution yet?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely one of those things where you just feel like you have to have every bit of it's like all the gear, no idea. Mm. It's very much like, because you know so little and because you're so ill-equipped mentally for this, you just cover yourself in equipment and bits and bobs to, like, make the process supposedly easier. So we'll see if it does the job.
And have you got the breast pump on now?
No, Howell. I used it once, the suction worked, and I removed it. It's weird. It does. It's weird, yeah.
You're not tempted to attach it to the cat's face or anything?
No, Ernie hates us anyway at the moment. So, I mean, I think he knows there's another presence in the house.
There's a
storm. He doesn't like it
brewing.
One bit.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much miserable at the moment.
Well, we'll keep track of that on tonight's podcast. Gotham, we're talking about Gotham.
Yeah.
A Batman prequel. I'm up to date with Gotham completely. Jamie's just done episode one. And others will join us. But first, let's find out what's going on in the world of box sets with Jamie.
First of all, a couple of shows I'm watching at the moment. First of all, Happy Valley. Is, you know, we've talked about this before. I think Ben mentioned it.
I mean, people say it's brilliant.
It's really good, actually. Yeah, I mean, it's gritty, hard hitting. But the reason I watched it was because I was listening to an Adam Buxton podcast.
Me too.
When he was
listened to the same podcast.
Yeah, she was talking, and so she sounded like a really interesting person. And the show is really good, actually. Very, very, very impressive. Mm. And also, another show we're watching is Rick and Morty, which is an animated series by co-created by the guy behind Community, Dan Harmon. Right. And it's an animated series it's basically like if an X-rated cartoon version of if Doc Brown and Marty from Back to the Future went on adventures of time traveling and moving through different dimensions.
Nice.
And it's really good, actually. It's worth a watch. Very, very funny.
It's Happy Valley, just to go back.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it because I imagine it's the absolute opposite of happy.
Yeah, no, I mean, the title is definitely used for ironic reasons. Mm. It's set up in the near Huddersfield and sort of on the West Yorkshire border, Pennines way, and it's pretty, you know, pretty miserable material, but it's brilliant. Like, it's, you know, it's great to watch alongside something that you might find, you know, if you watch something lighter, then it's okay to have the occasional dip into this really gritty but very compelling drama about police officers in West Yorkshire. And it's genuinely really good, really well written. Steve Pemberton from League of Gentlemen's in it. He's really good. Mm. It's actually the plot for the first series is similar to the film, the film Fargo, because
I thought you were going to say League of Gentlemen.
No, but it's very much like the similar plot with like characters making kind of very unusual, like angry decisions in their frustrated lives that lead to even worse situations occurring. But yeah, it's really good, very good.
Yeah, brilliant, very good.
Okay, I'll do some news now.
What's happening?
Very quickly. So if you go to the boxsetpod.com/news, all the bits are there. First of all, Stranger Things is coming back. I think I might have mentioned that in the past, actually. But also Woody Allen, his latest show is coming to Amazon, 6-episode series called Crisis in 6 Seasons. It's released on the 30th of September. He's wrote it, he directed it, he's starring in it. It's set in the 1960s in America. The comedy legend himself plays the role of novelist Sidney Munsinger, and it follows a middle-class suburban family whose life is turned upside down by a guest played by Miley Cyrus.
Oh.
Miley Cyrus is in it, which is an interesting one. So
how
there's a sneaky peek there.
How many seasons
on the website
do you think this will get?
I don't know. I think it depends very much on Woody. I think he could have anything he wants.
Are you not?
And
you're not understanding the joke?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Six seasons. Okay.
Good. Yeah, but you're right.
Yeah,
I'm
that
sure
was good.
Woody can decide. Good.
Also, George R.R. Martin is already thinking of the future once Game of Thrones finishes. By the way, Arya, the actress who plays Arya, Maisie Williams, has been talking about how good season 7 is going to be.
Oh.
Very excited.
Okay.
But anyway, there's only 2 seasons left of Game of Thrones. So George R.R. Martin is already working on bringing another of his creations to the small screen. Universal Cable Productions has bought the rights to Wild Cards. Now, this is a series of science fiction superhero stories told by different authors. So different authors provide stories, and it's curated and sort of brought together anthology-wise by George R. R. Martin.
Do you not think we've had enough now of superheroes?
No. Yeah, I know, but the idea of George R. R. Martin doing superheroes is something interesting. It's like he kind of took the Lord of the Rings world and adulted up that.
Hmm.
I feel like this, I've not read any of the books, but I imagine he's taken the superhero world and added a sort of more gruesome, slightly erotic twist
to that. Yeah, I imagine there'll
be
a lot of eroticism.
Yes, that's definitely the case. And lastly, David O. Russell, who's made some great films, Silver Lining Playbook, American Hustle, Joy. He's teaming up with Robert De Niro. He's coming to TV along with Julianne Moore. He's bringing his latest TV effort to our world. I don't know anything about the project. Nobody does, other than David O. Russell. But we're all very excited, and already he's received multiple offers for his show from a lot of studios. And Robert De Niro moving to TV, which is very good news indeed.
Well,
he needs
long
some good
overdue,
work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
he does
pretty
need
much,
it.
I mean, if anyone scraped the barrel, have you seen Dirty Grandpa?
No. I've heard it's a red. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't finish it.
Oh, what?
There's half an
God.
Hour left. I mean, it's just horrendous.
Oh, it's so sad that he's done it. I don't know why he did it. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to credit the man for, you know, I'm always ranting on about taste, and how if you've got the biggest taste, you'll like the simplest stuff as well as the most complex stuff. And he has not executed any snobbery in his taste over the years, has he?
So
you've got to credit him with that. He's definitely kept going. And he remains, no matter what he does, we say this about him, but you'll watch everything he's in, apart from Dirty Grandpa in your case.
Well, interestingly enough, Howell, Dirty Grandpa gets a higher rating on IMDb than Ghostbusters.
Right.
Anyway, we'll leave that there.
I want you to watch Dirty Grandpa, right, and tell me whether sexism is playing a part in the ratings on IMDb. Hello? What's up? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Oh, this is great. I've lost Jamie. Can you hear me?
Hello?
I think you've pressed mute. Jamie has pressed mute on his Skype.
Hello?
Let's hear how long it takes him to press unmute.
Hi, Howell.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I wasn't mute.
I think you might have done. Are you on your phone?
You just disappeared. Your
sure
voice.
You didn't hit it with your sharp cheek.
No. I'm using my headphones.
Okay.
So the actual device is a good 2 meters
well,
from
that was
the face.
My favourite bit of a podcast we've done in a long time.
Oh really?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to. I might edit that into the end of the podcast so that we can relive that moment again. That was
all
great.
Right.
What were we talking about? Oh,
Dirty Grandpa.
Oh, you were pretending to ignore me because what I was saying was you need to watch Dirty Grandpa and then tell me that the ratings on IMDb for Ghostbusters are not massively skewed, even with what you thought about it.
Well, I'm sure that it's not as bad as Dirty Grandpa is worse than Ghostbusters. I'm pretty sure.
Think of the worst film you've ever seen. It's worse than that.
Oh,
it's so bad.
Really?
Yeah, it's just misogynistic, terrible, horrible. It's just shit. It's real shit. And of course, De Niro's good, and Efron, you know, there's a good cast in there. They've just the pace, there's something about the execution of it, the pace, the tone, that instead of making it like, instead of it making it kind of Judd Apatow, cheeky, taboo, instead of being taboo, it comes across as just actually uncomfortably weird.
Yeah, it looks like it's trying to do a Farrelly Brothers.
Yeah, it's not. It's not cartoon enough. It's like tries to be real. In which case, if you want to be real, then it's a 75-year-old trying to pull an 18-year-old, and it just doesn't sit right.
No.
Yeah, anyway.
And that's the thing, the only time he does do anything good, De Niro, these days, is when he's working with David O. Russell, because he's brilliant in Silver Linings, he's really good in American Hustle, Joy's good. And
well, he just takes, it's like someone offers
him a job.
He
just takes everything.
And he says yes. Simple as that. But you do wonder, like, how much fun can he be having? Maybe that's it. You know, if he meets someone who he enjoys the idea of working with, then he does it. He's rich enough and he's old enough now to not want to spend months on something shit. So whatever the result is, as long as he's having fun.
Yeah, I think with De Niro, I don't think he cares about, like, you know, protecting his reputation or some kind of legacy. I think he just does whatever he wants these days, and he'll still go down as a legend. He knows he'll be a legend, and he can. And I think he just feels like, well, you know, it's got a few years of acting left in me. I might as well see what's available.
The bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. Why not?
Scrape that barrel, De Niro. Scrape it. Yeah. What's Pacino doing? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Pacino's. I mean, Jack Nicholson doesn't work anymore, pretty much. But I think that might be related to health reasons.
Yeah, I'm just not wanting to bother. I heard Louis C.K.'s interview with Marc Maron, and he tried to get Jack Nicholson involved with Thingamajig.
No, you're thinking of Joe Pesci.
I was sure he mentioned Nicholson as well, because Joe Pesci actually got in a conversation about it.
Yeah,
I thought Jack Nicholson just like gave him a one line kind of, you know what I do, I just be Jack Nicholson. Or he said something like, I'm sitting under a tree smoking a cigar, that's what I do, or something.
All right, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe I've imagined that.
Maybe.
All right, well, let's welcome some other people to the podcast, shall we?
Bring them in.
Who should we start with? How about Mel in the United States of America? Mel, part-time teacher. She also runs ChuckTV.net, and she's a valued and valuable member of this podcast. Please welcome Mel.
Wow, my ears are burning.
Hey!
That was smooth. Yeah, good. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Excellent. I saw an interview with a comedian who's a Donald Trump impersonator the other day. Goes around the country doing a really good Donald Trump impression. And he's clearly like not going to vote for the guy. He's sending him up too much. And Channel 4 News from England went over and asked him what he thinks the election result will be. And he said he thinks it's going to be a landslide for Donald Trump, because everywhere he goes, people, you know, people who won't admit to voting Trump just come over and love him. So everywhere he goes.
He's lying.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't think he's lying. He might not be right.
Or he's only visiting very, very specific parts of the country.
Yeah, maybe.
That's scary. That's very scary.
Well, that's what happened with Brexit, people. It was the silent majority, the people who won't answer phones and do polls. It was those people who will who step up. We'll see. Sorry to bum you out, Mel.
Why am I even here every week? You're screwed.
You're
it's
representing
be the Trump Nation.
Donald Trump.
Thank you.
So, Mel, we're going to be talking Gotham shortly. Have you managed to watch episode one?
I did.
That's good. Yes. I am going to now try and get Jack Boardman. Jack Boardman, 21-year-old?
Hasn't he been 21 for, like, the last three seasons of the podcast?
Yeah, that might be right. But then the last three seasons, I think, are only the last year, so...
Oh, okay, well then.
That could be correct. Let me pop Jack a text, because he doesn't seem to be on his thing, and I'll cut this bit. Oh, here he comes.
Hello?
I don't need to cut this out. He's here. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Hey.
I'm not too bad, thanks. I'm not too bad. You've just caught me in the middle of watching Alan Partridge.
Have you really? Oh, Mel, do you know what Alan Partridge
is, Mel? He's got potential, isn't he?
Mel, have you seen Alan Partridge?
Yes, occasionally.
Oh, he's great.
I think he does have potential. I feel like he could have a long career over there.
Yeah. Is this the first time you've ever watched Alan Partridge, Jack?
Yeah, today.
What?
No.
Which one are you watching?
It's Knowing Me, Knowing You.
Wow, you've got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's bloody good.
If you want to find something even possibly funnier, maybe it's on YouTube. He started on Radio 4 doing Alan Partridge, and that was very funny. And also on the programme The Day Today, which predicted the future of news. It was like a really over-the-top news satire, and Alan Partridge was on the sports desk.
and it's brilliant. There's one particular bit where they're showing a montage of goals. You know, it's like a football roundup, and there's just this montage of goals, and Partridge is commentating on it, but he's so carried away that all he says is things like, what does he say, Jamie? You'll remember.
Thwack. He's got a foot like a traction engine.
He's like, twat. It just gets worse and worse as it goes on. Anyway, good to hear you've discovered Alan Partridge. Well, look at that. The young generation catching up. So, Jack, you're a fan of Gotham, that's correct?
Maybe fan's a bit of a stretch.
Okay, you've watched Gotham, so have I, and I kind of know what you mean. Let's get the rundown this week from Jamie, because it's not often Jamie's the guinea pig. Go on, Jamie.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Oh, if anyone's never listened to us before, no spoilers here. We're just talking about episode one and trying to persuade you to continue or not.
Right, so the plot from the first episode... it's basically a young detective, James Gordon, set in Gotham, the mythical land of Batman. And this is pre Batman, but this is the origin story for James Gordon as a detective, starting out as a police officer in Gotham City, and he's kind of working within the difficulties of Gotham City, whilst also getting to know a young Bruce Wayne, meeting a potential future villain in the Penguin, and
it's interesting that it's an origin story for James Gordon, isn't it? An origin story for Batman, but you're right.
Well, yeah, I guess it's for him as well. But it feels, for me, the thing I liked about it was that it's focusing on him, and it's his story of how he grew to be a prominent police officer in Gotham City. Because the thing with Batman is that it's been done so much, and his origin story has been done a lot. And so there is a scene that does the scene we all know of Batman's parents dying. Mm. It does that scene in the first episode of Bruce Wayne's parents dying. And, you know, it's been done so often. Yep. Like, it's so hard to do it well or original or in any way that is, you know, interesting. Mm. That's the problem the show has in that respect. So that's why it's good that it's following James Gordon's career and his storyline.
Has he missed anything there, Mel?
I mean, as far as the plot goes, that's generally it, yeah.
That's generally it. We need to know, by the end of this conversation, how important it is that people watch this. We've just come off the back of Stranger Things, and we all agree that that's very, very important to watch. Jack, have you watched season one and two, or...?
I've only watched the first three episodes of season one.
Oh, have you? So you've not even made the four-episode rule.
No, not yet.
Goodness me. Well, I have watched both first and second seasons of Gotham. So I'm the expert here. Mel, what did you think of it?
I thought it was really bleak.
In a good way or in a... Oh, I don't want to watch this one.
I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't decided. I don't know. There's a lot about it that I didn't care for until I reminded myself that it's a comic book. I mean, they're translating a comic book onto the screen, thus some of the really broad acting and characterizations.
I agree.
I don't know.
I know what you mean. If you're going to go gritty and real, that jars a little bit, perhaps, is that you go, oh, can you actually go? And I think... and we're going to talk about this in the future, but Daredevil, I think, in my opinion, suffers from the same challenge, which is, you know, we're trying to say this is genuinely as close to downtown New York as possible, and yet these characters are like, hey, wise guy, what you doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's jarring to have it be so gritty and then so broad at the same time.
Did you find that, Jamie?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because for me, I didn't see it in that way, but I think that's probably why it kind of annoyed me. The dialogue definitely annoyed me, and I found the dialogue really, like, just obvious and a little bit stereotypical, you know, just kind of run-of-the-mill detective drama and procedural detective shows. It had that feel about it, and the dialogue felt cliched, and I've heard it a million times, the characters speaking the way they do. And yeah, you're right in that respect, it's very broad, and didn't really, yeah, I found that hard to get past early on. In the was just the script, and just feeling a little bit like it's a bit cheesy, and it's been done so much, you know, and it's been done kind of better as well. So,
well, I think with every box set, the four episode rule's there for this reason, because that is the problem with this one. That's the style hurdle with this one, and mm-hmm. when you get used to that, when you get past the point that Jack is at, I think you forget that, and you. Get used to that universe, it becomes a different universe. And for me, Gotham does that better than Daredevil, because Daredevil, I don't know, we'll see what people say about Daredevil, but I think Gotham does that fairly well. And but it does kind of rely on a lot of moments where you go, oh, that's going to be the Joker. Oh, that's, you know, there's a lot of kind of... it's got a lot of that up its sleeve. Did you find that, Jack? Do you know Batman well enough to?
Well, the only Batman that I know is Christian Bale's Batman, and he absolutely smashed it. And this just doesn't live up to it so far, and I think that's what's putting me off it so much. Like you were saying.
Is it because you don't have Michael Caine there to say?
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, the guy who plays Alfred is absolutely awful.
Ooh, I know, Sean Pertwee. I have to agree with you, Jack. In that first episode, he really irritated me. I was like, what is this? Why is he doing... This isn't Alfred. This isn't how Alfred is.
But Alfred's a sweet old man, and this guy is just...
Yeah,
a knob.
But only because you're used to him. I think he's a very good character. I think he comes into his own. But you definitely kind of you miss Michael Caine, I think.
Oh, definitely.
I'm really curious about this Alfred, because I happened to interview Sean Pertwee at Comic-Con
All about this interview.
Well, I was really okay.
You were
remember
blagging.
That I'm on this podcast today because. This is the first time I've ever watched an episode of Gotham.
Yeah.
And I interviewed the cast a month ago. So, didn't really know what I was talking about.
Oh, God. What did you ask him?
You learn to BS your way through things. You know what? You just listen to the other journalists, because it was a round table. It wasn't one-on-one, thank God.
Right.
And the person who actually covers Gotham, I was doing it for a fellow journalist who had a conflict. He had sent me questions to ask, which made no sense to me. But so you listen to the other journalists and you pick it up. You figure out how to ask questions, or you just nod and smile.
So who are you interviewing?
So I talked with Ben McKenzie, Marina Baccarin, Sean Pertwee, one of the writers, I don't remember which one.
And Ben McKenzie, he plays James Gordon, doesn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was Mrs. Right. Smith there?
I don't know. Who? What?
Will Smith's wife.
Will Smith's wife. Jada Pinkett.
Oh, Jada Pinkett. Smith. No, she was not. She was at Comic-Con, but she'd never make it to our table. The way these press rooms are set up, you're lucky if you get very many. The Penguin, did we talk to the Penguin guy? Now, who plays the Joker?
Oh, that's a lot further down the line. I can't remember.
Yeah, hang on, because this is for season three, you know, in prep for season three.
Well,
so,
that's all right. It doesn't matter.
What was throwing me off was that he was so in person. How do I want to phrase this? A lot less gravitas.
A lot less gravitas.
Than Michael Caine, and his shirt was unbuttoned a lot further than I expected.
I see. So he was a bit. He was a bit of a lech, was he?
Never inappropriate.
Was he chatting up the ladies?
No, he was there. He was there for business.
Yeah.
But Corey Michael Smith, that's who. Edward Nygma. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I interviewed him and Drew Powell.
Right.
I talked to him, and I don't know. Cool. I think Donald Logue. But anyway, I was just really surprised when I found out he was playing Alfred, because that was not at all the image I had of Alfred. So I'm really curious. But they talked about that at that point, you know, after season two, we've gone into his backstory some more, and there will be more of that coming up in season three. So,
okay. I think he's an excellent actor, and it's very difficult to follow. Michael, Mr. Bruce, very difficult to follow Michael doing that part. But I do think that he forms his own thing there, and you'll get to like that. I do think Jada Pinkett Smith?
Jada
Pinkett Smith is great, I think. I did not know that she was related to Will Smith when I watched it. I'm terrible with everything.
Wow.
And so I was watching it kind of blind. There wasn't the Winona Ryder complex for me on this one. And I just thought, oh, this character is so creepy. She's so creepy and real in her creepiness and her threatening nature that I didn't like her, you know. Did you all feel the same way, or did you just not like her, Jaden?
It's hard, you know. First episodes are always, pilots are hard, and this one, she just felt like a stereotypical bad guy gangster woman who I've seen. I feel like I've seen a lot of these kind of characters, and you know, it felt, the show just felt unoriginal.
Well, this is the difficult thing. If you'd never seen a superhero thing, then you might have thought she was amazing. But we are reaching maximum washout of these things now, aren't we?
Yeah, and it's not just superhero. It's the crime drama thing as well. Like there's something about it that just feels like it's very much straddling these two worlds of the superhero and the gritty crime thing, and it's neither doing either of them better than other shows do them. So it's like stuck in the middle, kind of being very average at both. But, you know, having said that, I think it's a good idea I like the idea of following James Gordon's career and within it wrapping in these sort of superhero characters on the way. I like that idea, and maybe that works better as it goes along, because the first episode did feel a little bit just tired and a bit old. And you know, Batman, we know it so well. We know the story so well. It's hard to do it when it's been done so many times.
So, Jack, you loved the Christian Bale Batman.
Oh, I thought it was absolutely brilliant, and all the bad guys in it were portrayed fantastically, apart from Bane.
Hello, Jack!
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan. I thought that it was very well funded. I thought that, you know, it was shot quite well and stuff, but I found the second one so long, just so long.
Oh, with
just,
the Joker?
Yeah, and I mean, there's some good bits, but which one's Harvey Two-Face? Number two, yeah?
Number two, The Dark Knight.
Just so bloody slow. Me and Jamie have had this argument before, but I missed the comic book nature. What they did with Christian Bale's Batman is they made it very like a really good, you know, starting in the East, in like Tibet or whatever, and they made it a really good almost drama thriller thing, and the comic book thing was almost taken out of that completely. You had the fun moments of the cars and stuff, but the characters were super real, and it was like watching a drama. Which is fine, an action movie drama, but I think that what you will like about Gotham is that it's actually gothic. Season two becomes even more so. There's this world of these characters and stuff. Once you get used to it, I can't. Maybe you can think of one that is quite as gothic, but in this world of these dark corners and red lampshades and these broad characters, I'm not sure that I can think of one that's really, really gone into that that world quite as much. Batman's, they've tried to be very, very inventive with all the Batmans, and I can't think that one's actually really done that of late. Can you give me an example?
No, probably not.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think there really is, and so it does feel like you're watching things that you've seen before, but once you're in that world, it's arguably one of the closest things to an actual comic book that you'll find. And mm-hmm. what we've gone through the last 10 years or so is people moving away from trying to be inventive with the comic book. This is kind of almost back to square one, you know? Maybe.
Yeah. But that's tempting. That's, you know, tempting.
And of course you get close to the characters and you warm to them and stuff. But there are still... That is quite difficult to shake. There's still that almost horror film trope where it's something happened, there's a character, and suddenly someone's backstabbing someone else, and part of you goes, oh god, don't do this. But at the same time, it's quite nice that it sticks within that world, and you do feel like you're in the pages of the comic book, where I think something like Daredevil's more confused.
Yeah, and I think the casting's important, like, because, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith's a really good choice, and I think she probably will get better as she goes along. But, like, you know, Ben McKenzie, who's here to play James Gordon, he's from the OC, isn't he, Mel? And
I never watched that show.
I thought you'd have loved the OC. It's right in the middle of the Gilmore Girls.
In a world of Chuck and the Gilmore Girls, Mel hates the OC.
I found it very boring. I tried it, and I found it very, very boring.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I find him a bit bland, that actor a bit bland as well.
Which one is it?
The main guy, James Gordon.
Oh, right.
He's playing that very... It's that male trope of... And maybe this changes as we go on, but he's almost the Superman, where he's always going to do the right thing, and he's always going to disapprove of anybody who's working within gray areas.
Yeah,
he's really dull.
He's Kermit the Frog. He always does the right thing.
And does he sing? Does he play the banjo?
Yeah. Now the question that is raised in Batman the movies really well, I think, is about morals. You know, when Batman and James Gordon in the future have to pretend that Batman's the bad guy because people aren't ready for it and all things like that. The series. That is what it's about. It's about taking this dead straight moralistic, there is right and wrong, and going, how can you succeed? How can you beat the bad guys if you are always transparent? Because then everyone will find out what you're doing, because everyone else is corrupt. So that's the route that it heads down. Yes, you're supposed to think this guy can't be Jesus. At the beginning, you know.
Okay. Well, that's promising.
It is.
I get bored with that very quickly. It's sort of every character Kevin Costner ever played, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is absolutely what that's... This whole series, that's what it's about. It's about James Gordon. How will he become commissioner and retain some kind of moral... standing. So,
and that's interesting. That actually is interesting.
Oh, it's great. And there are mafia bosses. Is the guy from The Wire, Rolls? Is he Rolls? The really annoying sort of middle manager in The Wire, in the
place. Oh yeah, yeah. He plays a gangster, and doesn't he, in the first episode? Yeah.
Oh, is he in the first episode? Yeah. And have you seen Batista yet from Dexter?
No.
Batista's in it, yeah.
Is he a cop?
He is another kingpin like that guy.
Oh.
Things get very interesting, and it is all weaved around, you know, the Penguin becomes a very interesting character, and yeah, it's all about grades of morality. Who is, you know, what are the morals that Jada Pinkett Smith's character has compared to the other kingpins and the Joker, and how is James Corden going to navigate that? Meanwhile, little Batman is a player of sorts. You know, it's really good, and Sean Petrie really will. His backstory is what really starts to get you to accept him in his world compared to Michael Caine. It's okay. It's definitely. I mean, talking about it now, remembering it makes me want to look forward to season three.
Okay.
How are you pronouncing his last name?
Put Petrie. Pertwee. I said, but
it's per. Oh, okay.
Is it Pertwee?
Good. Okay.
Pertwee.
Pertwee.
Okay.
Petrie.
That's how Pertwee. We were saying it, and you said something else, and I thought.
Yeah.
He's used to people saying it wrong.
I just don't know how to say people's names. Oh, okay. It's fine.
I have a question about Fish Mooney as far as the character in the comic books. Are any of you very familiar with the?
No.
With that?
I'm not.
No.
Okay. It was a question about her accent.
Oh.
She's got this sort of weird southern inflection.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to be in New York City, and I thought, well, maybe it's just the character. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe she's supposed to have come from Louisiana or Mississippi. But then you have the person that they arrested for the Wayne's murders.
Yeah.
You know, they visit his wife, and she's got a pretty broad southern accent.
Right.
And I was just confused. Like, why are we making these choices? What am I missing?
Well, you maybe have to watch it to find out.
Oh, do you? Okay. You don't have any idea, do you?
Nope.
Okay.
I would say that her backstory is, yeah, she's probably from the south, but she's been there long enough to be in charge of a lot of important things, so her accent would be less southern,
yeah,
than someone
less maybe. Pronounced, right?
Yeah, but I think as well, she's playing a serpent-like character, isn't she? And mm-hmm. I think that by nature, she's drawing out the vowels, which make you sound a little more southern.
Yeah, a little more evil. Funny how that works.
Like you. Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned Oswald. I think he was my favorite character from the pilot.
Yeah.
He's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
There's so much right underneath the surface that you're like, oh, look out. What's going to happen?
Yeah, and this is my thing, you know, Heath Ledger in Batman, you know, yeah, he was great, fair enough, you know, don't want to speak ill of the dead, but he was great. But at the same time, he was playing, to quote Matt Wandless, almost generalised nuttery. It was like, I could go in any direction. Blah, 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 blah. It was like, you know, just total... well, just like somebody off their head on cocaine or something.
But he did. I mean, you can say that, but he did it really well. Like, yeah, people do did, that. Nicolas Cage does that in every film and does it badly a lot of the time.
Yeah,
so it's a hard thing to do well. You know.
But considering that what Gotham is doing is inspecting the morality of people, I think that this exploration of the bad guys is better than in those films, because in those films they're kind of there to serve the central Christian Bale stuff, and so people can do these crazy performances like Heath Ledger or like Bane. But in this case, you really are investing over a long period of a TV series in characters like the Penguin, and go, well, why is he called the Penguin, and what's his... It's much more terrifying. It's much more disturbing to see that he's got a logic.
Yeah, that is interesting, because I think that's the strength of the show, definitely has in its advantage, is that we've only ever, most people anyway, who haven't done the comic book routes, have only experienced Batman or Penguin or the Joker or all these superhero characters through a very kind of 1 hour, 1.5 hour to 3 hour film, or maybe a trilogy of films, and you don't really get an opportunity to see a character gradually have an arc.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm actually interested in. Like, they get an opportunity to really go somewhere with these characters. And you're right, Mel, like, I thought Penguin Guy was really good. He was really interesting as an actor, really good choice, and was playing it quite well.
I think
What about you, Jack? What did you... Who was your favourite?
I thought he was really good as well. He creeped me out a little bit at the start, which I suppose is the whole point of the character, but I've never seen the Penguin in any Batman film. So I have very, very little idea about who he is, where he's come from. And I think that,
was
for
he
me...
On, was he in the George Clooney one?
Yeah.
He was in the in the Michael Keaton one, the second Michael Keaton one.
With basically someone dressed up like a fat penguin waddling around.
Basically, yeah.
It was Danny DeVito.
Yeah. There you go. Well done, Danny. But
because I've never seen him in anything, I think that's probably going to encourage me to carry on. If it was the Joker from the start,
yeah,
I would then constantly be comparing him to the Joker that I now know. Yeah. The Joker that Jared Leto was unfortunately just killed in Suicide Squad.
Thanks for ruining that.
God,
I do think, though, that you begin to, even if you know the characters from somewhere else, what you start to feel about Gotham is it's a really good backstory. Like, it explains... It's not explaining it, it makes you feel those characters, almost so that you could go back and watch any other Batman film and it would work, it would still fit with it, which I think is testament to how accurate it probably is to that world and it's really thought about it. I mean, it's quite easy to kind of go, oh, why is a bad guy a bad guy? He was dropped on his head as a kid. But at the same time, when you first see the Penguin in this, you know, he's being treated very badly and it makes you feel empathy for him. You go, oh no, don't bully me, him. And that's how it gets you. Now, that's why it creeps you out so much, Jack, and that'll creep you out more and more, because you're going, oh, I understand why he's in his batshit crazy head making these decisions. And it's not as simple as just, oh, someone was picked on, so they were horrible. It's like all of the forces in that world are really violent and really dangerous, and that is what forms everybody in the way they behave, particularly with Jada Pinkett Smith becomes more interesting in that sense as well. And it really is about morality, and it's good. It's well worth cracking on with, I think. It'll surprise you. It'll surprise you how much you want to take that little world off the shelf and get back into it.
I think I'm definitely more interested in carrying on now. I think coming into the pod tonight, I was very sort of demotivated by what I'd seen.
Yeah, so was I.
But I'm more intrigued now, and I'm willing to give it a good crack.
It's worth, if you do the four, I think you'll carry on. I do think it's...
Jack's done the four, hasn't he?
No, he's done three.
I've done the three.
Oh.
One more, Jack. See how you go. But it is like a snow globe. You know, if you had a snow globe and you could jump inside it, probably for a moment you'd go, oh, "What's all this?" And it feels a bit icky. And then you realise that you can go in and out of this little world that really knows what it is. And I think other things, including arguably the Christian Bale one, if it had less money behind it, you might think, where is this world in our... I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the Christian Bale thing is personal to me. But, I strongly recommend continuing with it.
Mel, what was one of the questions you asked the cast, considering you'd not watched it?
Yeah.
You know what? I really should have gone through those videos again before I got on this podcast today. And I did not think to do that.
Mel is a lesson in preparation today.
You know
it?
What? It was a month ago, and it was on a day when I had five press rooms. So I just remember being there.
Sean Pertwee, he had his shirt open. And
he had like a scarf or something, too.
He's not a creep. He's just a thespian. He's just hello, darling.
But is he actually English in real life?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I got the feeling whilst watching it that he was just putting on a really bad accent.
No.
Wasn't his dad on Doctor Who? Wasn't he a doctor?
His dad, yeah. John Pertwee played Doctor Who and also played Wurzel Gummidge from 1979
to
1981.
That's a box set we need to do.
Oh, what a show. That used to scare the hell out of me.
Mel, Wurzel Gummidge was basically a scarecrow, a children's TV series. So there we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Not worth watching. All right. Spend your time on Gotham.
I will. I'm gonna go through the four episodes at least on this one because I'm. Yeah. I was marginally intrigued, and now I'm more so.
Well, I'll be honest. I've talked myself into it throughout this podcast. I remember now why I watched a full two seasons of it, and still, when you finished it and you put it away, do you know what I mean? There's some series like that where you go, oh, do I want to go there on holiday? And then you go and you go, oh yeah, I remember why I like this.
It's, yeah, it feels like it's one of those shows that, you know, it's not necessarily going to stay with you afterwards. It doesn't stay long in the mind, no. But when you do go back in there again, you realise it's actually quite nice to just be in that zone for a while.
Can anybody think of another box set that's like that?
Stranger Things that we're still talking about 3 weeks later?
No, I think we know. I'd jump on that straight away.
Okay.
I'd be straight back to it.
Yeah, I think that's. I think this feels a bit like Dirt. I mean, you mentioned Daredevil earlier, and that's a show that when I start watching it, I do quite get into it. But it's not a show that stays in the mind very long.
No.
Either. No. Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind. But then, you know, you don't like Daredevil, though, do you?
No, I do like Daredevil. I do. I'll carry on watching Daredevil. I just think it's trying much harder than Gotham to be kind of cool and different, and for me there is something there that feels, again, it's just like, for me, Gotham has gone, we're a comic book, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to do it like this, we're going to do it like a Parisian dungeon and make it all gothic, and that's great. Daredevil is more like, let's explore the thoughts and feelings of everybody. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And then get some really good action violence scenes, and I'm being really flippant because I've watched all of that as well. But
you're not convincing me to try Daredevil.
No, I'm not at the moment. But
well, I did like it, but yeah, I know. I see your point. I mean, it can be quite a bit too much trying to be about feelings and stuff. Yeah, there is a bit of that. And I think with Gotham, the key with it for me is going to be the villains, like, and the Penguin is an example of one that could be really good. Like, I feel like a show like Gotham, because the, you know, Gordon, James Gordon, is quite a sort of everyday, ordinary cop, but with a good heart and with integrity, it's going to rely heavily on having very good bad guys, and that's going to be important. A lot like another Marvel show, Jessica Jones, is brilliant in the first series because David Tennant's bad guy is just amazing. He's the best thing in it, and so you do need a good guy.
This is more ensemble. I think you enjoy everyone's performance in this as it goes along. I think you start to really, it's a real, everyone's pedaling at the same pace. I'll tell you what this doesn't have that all others do, which is a key difference. I can't think of any others that have this difference. There isn't a great secret because Batman hasn't become Batman yet. So, do you know what I mean? There is no... Daredevil annoyed me after a while because the people around him didn't know who he was for a full season. And there's that kind of postmodern place that we're at now that is like, oh, just fucking tell him. Just tell them. Let's get past it and be a bit more challenged than that.
Whereas, so in Gotham, does everybody know who... Like, is there some binder of secret identity?
Well, no, just what I mean is Batman hasn't... He hasn't become Batman, has he? He's too young. So you don't... It doesn't rely at all on that idea of, oh, Lois doesn't know who Clark is. The city don't know
like
who Batman is.
With the villains, like everybody knows who the villains are and what they're...
Yeah, pretty much. And what you're learning about is the morality. What you're trying to do is pick a hero. And you've got your central hero, but, you know, how is he going to navigate through these other people? And who do I want to win out of these mafia bosses who are all different, and where's the Penguin going to step into all this, and how's he going to climb the ranks and all of that? It's kind of the politics of it that becomes really interesting, I think.
Is Donald Logue the Jim Gordon's partner, is he Harvey Dent? Or did we meet Harvey Dent in the pilot?
No.
Name, but...
No, I mean, just looking at the cast list, there is another guy who plays Harvey Dent.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, I couldn't remember what was in the pilot, but he definitely comes into it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all to come. It's all to come. But, okay.
That was just an. I thought I heard the name, and then I was there's something else happened, and I didn't go back and check.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Harvey Bullock. That's why. That's his name. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Gotham is... Yeah, keep going, everyone. Gotham's like a shisha lounge or something. And you go, do I really want to go in there? And then go in and you go, oh, actually, the music's quite cool and it's always a nice cocktail there. And then you get used to it more and more. Not that I've
Did you go to a shisha lounge this week,
no,
Carol?
No, I just think it's an adequate metaphor. And on that, let's say goodnight. Unless anyone's got anything else to add.
That'll do for me.
That'll do. What's next week?
Next week is Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie next week. Okay, right. I'll watch.
Is that on Netflix? Is there anywhere I can get hold of that?
It's on Now TV now, I think, in the UK.
I thought it was on Netflix, but it's not, is it? Yeah.
Ben pointed out that I think the licensing has switched, so they're on Now TV now. So hopefully, it's on there. If anyone's got any comments or thoughts, again, you can email studio@theboxsetpod.com. And we will end the podcast by listening once again to what happened when Jamie accidentally muted his Skype with his face.
I didn't touch it.
Yeah, you did. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah.
Playing a part in the ratings on IMDb. Hello? What's up? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Oh, this is great. I've lost Jamie. Can you hear me?
Hello?
I think you've pressed mute. Jamie has pressed mute on his Skype. Hello?